Good morning, everyone. This is John Alls, and I want to welcome you back on behalf of Independence Baptist Church. Now, for the next 3 weeks, we'll be sharing with you a message Pastor Reynolds has titled, Every Good Gift, and our text is going to be in James chapter 1, starting in verse 17. So let's listen in as Pastor Reynolds starts this message about every good gift.
Now, James chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible states this, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The passage, verse 17, does not stand alone. I read it alone. But verse 17 is included in the whole chapter. Now let's go back up here and look in verse 1 and verse 2 again. And let's get the context. We want to understand that God gives us everything that is good. There's a lot of things that comes along that is not necessarily good. But God's gift is always good and it's perfect. Now notice in verse 1, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, of the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Now, this book is not written to the church. It's unlike the book of 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians or Galatians, Ephesians, which is written to churches. This one is not. This is written to the 12 tribes, the Jewish tribes that are scattered abroad. And it confirms it even more so back down here in chapter 2, verse 2, when it says, if there come into your assembly a man of gold and the gold ring and goodly apparel and such like that. That word assembly there is not the Greek word ekklesia, which is normally translated into the word church or assembly. But rather, that word is the Greek word synagogue, from which the word synagogue comes from. And so it confirms to me again that the book is written to Jews. It's written to people that are believers, but they are believers, not church members, but they are believers. May the world get the difference. You can be saved without being a church member. By the way, you can be a church member and be lost. Just to say that. But that's who it's written to. But then he says in verse 2, My brethren, count it all joy. Verse chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy. And we need to understand this passage. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. That is, the word entire means whole, wanting nothing. So we need to count it all joy when we're facing difficulties, troubles, and tribulations, because, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Understand this. The troubles and the trials that you're going through right now, the burden, the heartache that you're facing right now has an end to it. It is to teach us that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from God. Think of this, in salvation. Has anybody ever gone through being lost? Yes, I did. Was that fun? No. Would I want to go through it again? I don't have to. So I'm not going there. All right, I'm saved eternally, so that's done. But I was burdened, and that thing about being lost and being afraid and looking hell face to face was not pleasant. It was a burden to me, and it was a trial to me. It was a chore to me. It was anguish. I mean, being afraid that you're going to die and go to hell is not fun. Laying in bed at night, listening to my heartbeat and praying that it'll beat one more time. That's anxiety. Waking up in the morning and there's a new day is good, and yet walking around with a burden of being lost is bad. But the gift of God was the greatest thing that ever come along. I mean, because it lifted that burden. But what I want you to see is this. When the Bible states here in verse 2 that I need to count it all joy when I fall into diverse temptations is true. Because if I had not gone through the burden of sin, I had never known the gift of God in salvation. Going through all of that trouble led me to see the gift of God in salvation. So every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. I'm glad that God burdened me with my load of sin. I'm glad He showed me what a sinner I was. I'm glad He revealed to me how lost I was and how wicked I was. I was 12 years old when I was saved. I'd never smoked a cigarette. I did that after I was saved. It's bad. Never committed adultery, don't want to. All of that. But you see, I was wicked because of what was in me, not because of what I had done. But I'm glad I went through that. But I'm glad God brought me through it. What about baptism? After a person is saved, what's the very next thing they need to do? Very next thing to do, they need to be baptized. There's only one way of baptism, that is by immersion. It must be by a scriptural New Testament Baptist church. I can put the word Baptist in there, and I did. It must be by the right kind of authority. All that's necessary. It's got to be for the right purpose, the right reason, the right mode, the right method. All of that's got to be there. Somebody said, well, baptism is no problem. It was for me. Because, you see, I am afraid of water. I love to fish in a boat. And that doesn't bother me at all because I'm not in the water. But I don't want to get in the water. I'm afraid of getting in the water. That's why I don't swim. That's why I don't do any of that. I'm afraid of that. You say, well, that's silly. I know it. But that doesn't make me feel a bit better. I'm still afraid of it, like a person that's claustrophobic. I'm not very much. I remember one time talking about claustrophobic. We had a 24 by 60 foot trailer. I got up in the attic of that thing, which is about this high. I crawled all the way from one end to the other and cut a hole through so I could put a fan in to suck air and get rid of that hot air. And I had never even thought about being claustrophobic until I got that hole cut. And then I tried to turn around. And I thought, I'm going through this ceiling. So I kind of know what that is. But see, there's fears like that. There's just troubles and trouble. But see, what about your baptism? Well, they took us down to the river, there in Sling County, and I was going to be baptized, but since I was afraid of water, I didn't realize I was afraid of water. But we do baptism by immersion because that's scriptural. And when it came time, I was 12 years old, come time to baptize me, and the preacher, you know, he said, by the authority vested in me, by Forest Hills Baptist Church, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I said, no way. You're not putting me on that water. And he didn't. It was a trial to me. Now, to you, it might not have been. But to me, it was a trial. But guess what? I have been baptized. And I did get through it. With much prayer and fasting as a 12-year-old boy. And I remember going down into the baptistry at Holland's Chapel Baptist Church where they were going to baptize us. It was cold weather by then. And as that day grew closer, I prayed more and more and more. And as I climbed those steps getting up to that baptistry, and then I climbed the steps going down into the baptistry, and I just prayed. That's all I did was pray. And then it was over. And I prayed, thank you, Lord. But I had to go through a burden to get to the other side. I'm glad that that's done. I don't want to go through it again. I mean, I think I could probably handle it now as an adult better than I could then. But you know, it's done. But there's that. God burdened me. I'm just talking about trials and how the good gift is from God. And I want you to see that the troubles and trials that you go through in your life and the things that you face, the uncertainty that you are going through is good for us. Why? Because it teaches us to rely more and more and more upon the Lord and not depend upon ourselves. Because God has the answer. He has the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Whether it's a health problem, whether it's a mental problem, whether it's a work problem, whether it's a car problem, family problem, whatever kind of problem it is. Learning to trust the Lord through all those things is the greatest thing there is. Because God's gift, when you come out on the other side, will always be so much better than you ever thought it could be. The Lord burdened me back in 1968 about preaching His gospel. That was not fun either. Because for a while I wasn't sure if I was lost or saved. It was a definite call. But I went through that trouble. I went through that anxiety, that low spot, that burden about what am I going to do? I cannot preach. But I was glad when the Lord finally burdened me so much that I could do nothing but preach His Word. And He brought me to that place. And this is what I need to do. This is exactly what I need to do. And I know it. I'm where God wants me. And I'm trying to do what He wants me to do. But I've had to go through that struggle to find all that out. Not only am I doing what God wants me to do as far as preaching and pastoring, I believe I'm in the place God wants me to be. But there was a while back that I gave up on the preaching part and on the pastoring part. You know about the story. I've told you before, you know it. When I left the state of Louisiana, it wasn't to find another church to pastor, but it was to find another vocation. Because I was tired of the fussing, the fighting, the fuming, the politics in churches. Because a church is not a political institution. It's not a business. A church is not a business. But a church is to worship God in. There is no big I's and little U's in a church. Let me rephrase that. There's not supposed to be. There is order. There is order. I am your pastor. I say with a smile, don't forget that. But I'm not your dictator. I'm supposed to learn from you as well as you learn from me. And we all learn from God. We've got a long way to go. Especially some of us. But we learn. Oh, we learn. We go on. But you think of this. I went through difficulties in three churches that I pastored before I came here. They were not pleasant to go through. And it's not pleasant to go through difficulties. Jesse and I have been gone from one church for a while on vacation and came back and absolutely pulled up into the driveway and did not even want to get out of the car. It was so hard. I'm talking about a burden. I'm talking about that it is difficult sometimes to do, but I was where God wanted me to be. I knew that. I had no choice except to get out, to go in and smile and do the best I could do. But the Lord gave me grace. Going through troubles and trials is not easy. It's not simple. But I'm telling you, the best gift is when you do what God tells you to do. Because the Bible still says in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. But I will guarantee you this. When you go through a trouble and trial, you'll learn to appreciate the good things and the good times that God gives you. But you must go through that before you can appreciate it. Now, I said that wrong. You don't have to go through it. I had to go through it. But you don't. You can appreciate the good times without having to go through the ringer first. I hope. Now you're looking at me like, are you sure about that? Yeah, I'm sure. Experience is not the best teacher. The Bible is the best teacher. And we do have examples in the Bible that I should have been following so I would not have to go through all that misery to get to the good. Just read it in the Bible, especially the Old Testament stories, and you can see When people did wrong and they faced the consequence, you don't have to go there. You've already read it. You can learn from their mistakes. The Bible is the best teacher.
Well, our time for today is up, but we do want to invite you to attend services with us today. You can find our building at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Our Sunday morning services will be starting at 10 a.m. and our Sunday afternoon services will be starting at 4 p.m. We do want to thank you again for listening, and be sure and tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for the continuation of the message about every good gift.